Welcome to Love Bites. Love Bites.
Love Bites.
Love Bites.
Hello, my loves, and welcome back to Love Bites by Dr. Tara podcast, where we talk about all things sex. And today with me is a very, very exciting guest because he is the psychosexual Joel Kim Booster. Hi, Joel.
Hi. So Matt Hubbard, who is the co-creator of Loot with Alan Yang, was a writer on Sunnyside. And he enjoyed my work on that show. And so when they were writing Loot, they wrote this character that was like a rude gay Asian adopted assistant. And I was like, well, if I can't book this role, then there is a huge issue. I was like, I need to reconsider everything because this seems tailor-made for me. And then in talking to them, it really was one of those things where all I had to do was not fuck up the audition, basically.
Yeah. Like, and how was the audition?
The audition was great. It was over Zoom. Just being me. Yeah. It was just like being myself, basically. And so it was one of those, they weren't going to just offer it to me, but they definitely were pulling for me. And like, all I had to do was deliver. And that's what I did. And, nice. And that's how I got the part.
That's really cool.
Yeah. And it's one of those nice stories because it is like, it's so hard in this industry to remember that it is a marathon, not a sprint. And it's so hard while you're in it to realize that everything is happening sort of in the way it needs to happen. Because if Sunnyside hadn't gone the way it did, then I would never be working with Maya Rudolph. So, it all turned out for the best. Yeah. Ultimately.
Well, it's Sunnyside at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And thank you so much for coming on the show.
No problem.
Okay, first off, what is psychosexual?
Psychosexual it's a real word, and it is basically of or pertaining to the psychological aspects of sex.
What's one main thing that's like a psychology about sex that shocked you?
The thing that interests me, I guess right now specifically in my set, is like rejection and the ways in which people handle sexual rejection and the sort of ways in which we frame it to make it okay or not okay, or dwell on it or not dwell on it. Yeah, so that the psychology of like sexual rejection is really interesting to me right now.
So is ghosting okay?
I think ghosting is totally fine depending on the context. Yeah. I think like one date off of Tinder, don't hit it off. You don't have to, I don't think you owe that person.
Like, we
anything.
Don't owe each other explanations.
No, I think that there is a level at which you do start to owe someone an explanation or an actual breakup. But I don't ultimately think that like ghosting is the worst crime imaginable.
Right. And there's mutual ghosting. Right. Which is like two people just realize exactly. We don't have a spark.
Well, and my thing is too, if like I've gone, and this has happened to me, like I'll go on like one date with a person. And then they will text me after the date and be like, listen, it's not a match because of these things. And I'm like, I didn't need to know that.
Like, you don't want feedback?
It's just not a match. It's okay. You don't have to like find the reason. Like, we just didn't vibe. Like, just go off and disappear into the mist like you're supposed to. And it's interesting too, because this happens on gay dating apps a lot. This has been happening to me. This happens to me mostly when I go home.
Okay, when do
and
you
I'm
respond?
On Grindr in the suburbs, is like an 18 or 19 year old will message me and they'll be like very cute, whatever. But I'm like, I have to always be like, because I don't want them, it's so early in the development, I don't want them to think I'm not into them because they're not attractive. I don't want to give them a complex, but I always message back and I'm like, hey, listen, like when I was 19, I was having sex with guys in their 30s too, but I guarantee you will turn 35 and think it's weird.
Oh my
You will look
gosh.
Back on those
so
moments.
So it's ethical rejection.
Yeah. You will look back on those guys who wanted to fuck you at the age of 18 and be like, what was going on there? You know? And I don't want to be that guy for you. You're very attractive. You seem very sweet, but that is the reason why. Like, call me in 10 years when you're in your 20s.
An ethical rejection.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have so many like younger guys on my TikTok. I have like 2 million followers on TikTok. And younger guys are like, Dr. Tara, can you be my first? I'm like, what the fuck?
No. No.
And number one, I don't know you. And number two, no, I will not.
Never.
Be your first.
And this is the other thing, like ethics aside, like I have had sex with people in their early 20s or whatever. And you forget that they're very bad at sex. Many times, especially in the gay community, because there's so much less education around our sex. And so like, they don't know exactly what they want. They don't know how to prepare for it. They don't know, you know, like I am not interested in being someone's tutor. You know, you got to come to the table.
Nice, clean act.
Ready, you know, like, just like emotionally. I'm not just talking about like shit. I'm talking about just like the holistic, like, you know, everything surrounding sex. I prefer someone who's like self-possessed, who knows what they want and knows how to get it and knows how to, you know, get me off too.
Yes.
And like so often with like, I don't understand the obsession with having sex with people who are young like that, because I'm like, I'd much rather have some sex with someone who's been there. And
like,
done
if
that.
We're hooking up, I need to come.
Yeah.
I'm putting in this effort.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, and there are plenty of times I haven't, and it is about the journey, not the destination, but it is important to come.
If I'm hooking up, it's the destination.
Yeah.
It's the journey with my long-term relationship, but if I'm hooking up with someone, it is the destination.
If it's a, if it's just a hookup, if it's like a one-night thing, a Grindr hookup or whatever, totally, we must come.
I
oftentimes will have sex with my partner though, and like we'll both be tired or something like that. We get home at 5:30 and try to have sex, and then like literally we'll just fall asleep before either of us are finished. So
naked cuddling is fun too.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Okay, so the next segment of my show is called True or Untrue, Sex in the News. And I'm going to tell you something that happened in the news, and you tell me if you think it's true. And to be honest with you, I actually don't know which one is true. My producer is going to tell us. So, number one, humpback whales were photographed having sex, gay sex, for the first time.
Yes, this is true. I know this is true. I had a Google alert set up.
I feel like it was on every news.
This is
like
huge
BBC.
For our community. Huge for our community. We're welcoming whales into the
gay
acronym.
Whales, we love it.
You know, like it is like LGBTQ plus
whale.
W plus whales. And I love that. I love that for them.
And this is true.
You know, it's like, how many instances of homosexuality do we have to see out in the wild with different animals before people will start to accept that it is just a genetic predisposition? Like, I don't get it.
Preach. Number two, Sam Bankman-Fried, the golden boy from cryptocurrency, faced allegations that there were orgies in the crypto office and he was in a polycule with his other executives.
I've seen the man. I've seen many of the people involved in crypto, and I'm going to say this is false. I just don't think any of them are cool enough to be having an orgy.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
False. It's
yeah,
false.
Yeah, absolutely.
Untrue. Sam Bankman-Fried does not get invited to sex parties.
Mm-mm.
Tish Cyrus's new husband, 54-year-old Dominic Purcell, was in a friends with benefits situation with Trish's daughter, who is a 24-year-old Noah Cyrus, before getting together with Trish.
I actually think this is true. I think this is true. This is the setup
I'm
of
like,
a great rom-com.
This is untrue.
No. Like, I follow the Cyruses pretty closely. And
he was friends with benefits with Noah and then now dating Trish.
Yeah. But you know what? At least it's I actually find it much less problematic than the other way around. Because imagine if he was like seeing Trish and then started dating Noah.
Oh.
That direction is much weirder to me than the reverse.
Interesting. Is this true? Oh, it's a true,
according
I guess. Wow. Okay, next. Greece officially legalized same-sex marriage February 1st, 2024.
I feel like I would have heard about this. I also am kind of shocked that Greece didn't already have it. I mean, they invented homosexuality.
Exactly. Like, they were like hand jobs, blow jobs outside
gay
of those
sex.
Walls. the mentor-mentee relationship.
I guess I'll say I guess true.
I think it's true, but it's true that it is legalized
it is
in
true.
Greece.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Good for them.
Yay. Yeah, because hey, they had bankruptcy a few years ago. So now
I mean,
like,
they
okay,
have
we're gonna
a lot
legalize
of
same-sex
issues.
Marriage
I mean,
to make more money from marriage certificates.
Yeah, fair.
next, Martha Stewart and Snoop Dogg caught kissing at Saddle Ranch in L.A.
False. There's just no way.
There's no way.
I believe the friendship, but I don't believe anything.
Yeah, false. Lastly, Kate Middleton, who's been disappeared for a little bit earlier this month because her sex life with Prince William has been lackluster.
I would say that's false because Kate has been with me this whole time. And she's just been staying in my guest room, and it has nothing to do with her sex life.
Did she get a BBL?
With William. No, it's not a BBL either. She just needed a little bit of time, mm-hmm. a place where she could sort of post up and binge watch Gilmore Girls. And
love that.
My house
and
is
loot.
That safe haven. Yeah. So this is false because, like, it has been, like, reported, and, like, people knew she was going to be gone. For this period.
Sickness.
Yeah. They knew that she was going to be gone. So, like, I don't know why this is, like, such a big mystery. Or, like,
well,
people
it's just, there's a lot of
really
theories on Reddit.
People really want her to be gone-girling Prince William
right
now.
Yeah, yeah. They just think it's
not,
much more fun.
That's not happening.
Than, like, some app issue. Mm-hmm. So, untrue. Untrue. All right. Well, do you like masturbation?
Oh, yeah.
Me too. I masturbate often. If I don't have sex, I'm masturbating.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's true of a lot of people.
Did you know for men, like if you're masturbating a lot with your hand, you can get what is called idiosyncratic masturbation, where your body and your brain get used to just the sensation and the rhythm of your hand, and it's going to be really hard for you to come with a partner.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's why my today's sponsor is Stroke, the male masturbator from blushvibe.com. And this is like a male masturbator, so it's a sleeve that help men masturbate. Look at this
box. Is this like a fleshlight?
Kind of, yeah. Without the idea of like pussy.
This is actually, this seems much more
you know?
It's much smaller than a fleshlight. It looks way more, the fleshlights, I have a fleshlight at home that I use specifically for this reason because I don't want to lose the sensitivity and I want to be able to come in my boyfriend's ass.
Yeah.
But like, this seems much more like sort of manageable than a fleshlight.
Like, I mean, it's
and
a tool.
I don't need the theater of the fleshlight being a butt.
Exactly.
I don't need that. Like,
me neither.
It's not tricking anyone.
It's a tool.
Like, my brain is not like clicking in and like turned on by the fact that I am fucking a disembodied ass. Like, it doesn't do anything for me.
This is
utilitarian.
Yeah, it's a masturbator. It
we
can
know
vibrate.
What it's for. Love that.
Yep. And it has, like, it's really good, like,
this
feel
is the
inside,
thing. Like,
if you want to touch
yeah,
inside.
Yeah, I do. This could be, like, in my bedside table, whereas
exactly,
the fleshlight is
box.
So big that it, like, it's like getting it out. I'm like, and then cleaning it off and then like figuring it out. I really am into this.
Well, so that's your gift for today.
Shut up.
Yes.
Oh my God, this is huge. I'm going to go home and use it right away.
It's washable. It's really nice.
Oh, it has this nice, this is huge.
Yeah. So you come like psh, on the
other because
side.
Yeah, because the like literally I'm just been impregnating my fleshlight for the last couple of years. And then it's
you
like
wash
really,
it, I assume?
You, I do wash it, but like it is like, this seems much easier to wash
than
the fleshlight.
I think it's a great tool for all men. So blushvibe.com, you guys check it out. And there's a link in my episode description. Well, the next segment of my show is us answering questions from my audience. And it's usually like a sex and dating questions. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be answering them from my expert standpoint. And you're going to be their big brother for the day.
Okay, great.
All right. The first question is from Ella Bravo. How should a single guy behave at a sex party? I was invited to one by a friend and I was alone there. I didn't have sex because I didn't know anyone. And the organizers told me when I was leaving that some people complained about me. I didn't think I did anything wrong besides some reactions of what I saw at the party because it was my first time. Anyways, I would love to go again, but how do I behave as a single guy?
Okay, so there's a lot going on here. There's a lot going on here. And I have to say that I don't think we're getting the full picture.
Right.
Because it's psycho of the of the producers of the event to then tell him that there were complaints, especially if we're only going off of what he has said.
Right.
But I think there's something in the reactions to the event that he might be underplaying a little bit. Like, I'd have to know what those reactions are. I'd say the general rule of thumb for any sex party is just act like you've been there before.
Yes.
Like, if you're like, oh my God.
So that God. That reaction that Joe just did, do.
No, like, because I get that. Like, I've been at sex parties before where, you know, someone is just like a little too, like,
responsive. Into the
Like
we're not zoo animals. Like,
yeah,
people
exactly.
that go, you know,
yeah,
if I'm going and I'm being fingered and people are watching, right. I don't want a response to go like, oh my God, oh my God.
And it's also, it's such a foreign concept to me to be like, I went to a sex party and I didn't know anyone, so I didn't have sex. Like, the whole point is you're having sex with people you never have to see again.
Right.
That you don't even know their name.
Sometimes you see them again, though.
Yeah, I feel like this person has grossly misunderstood the assignment of a sex party.
So,
and maybe sex parties aren't for him.
Right.
You know,
like,
and that's totally fair. He wants to go again, but does he? Like, this is my thing. Like, really ask yourself the question if you want to go again, because I think, like, the goal of sex parties obviously is to have sex, but like, it's not going to be a tea party. It's not going to be people sitting around getting each other's like names, like, and this is an issue in our community, but eye contact is consent, you know, like, and that could be an uncomfortable space to navigate for a lot of people. I don't know if this was his issue. I've certainly run into consent issues at sex parties because there, you know, is a more lax attitude about consent at some of these events. But yeah, it is like, it's not for the faint of heart.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's for someone, if he's looking for love, I don't think it's for that either.
Love. Love in the club.
No, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, you know.
I, in fact, hate it when people talk to me at the sex party.
Right? Like trying to have a full conversation.
I'm trying to be a body. Yeah. Okay? A body in a space.
And like, oh, like, tell me about your experience. Like, what was it like to film your show? And you're like,
oh my God, that happens.
I'm here to like, fuck.
Yeah, no. The worst is when you're like inside of someone and they like realize like midway through like, oh my God, you're an actor, right? And it's like.
I love your special.
You've
you're
really like, killed stop. The vibe for me now. Because like my thing is like, I don't want to be, I want, like, I've said this before in other mediums, but like, when a guy is leaving, like a Grindr hookup is leaving my house and then reveals to me at the end of the hookup that he's like, oh, I really like your work or I enjoy your work or something like that. I hate that. Like, you have to tell me you know who I am before the hookup.
Why do you hate that?
Because I wouldn't have been such a fucking freak just now if I knew that you knew who I was. I like really like to let go and unleash like when I am with a stranger and it's anonymous, but like I am just so fully aware. There are like, you know, there are message boards out there like 4chan, LPSG, Mail General. I don't need to promote these places, but like there are full threads of people telling stories about having sex with me. And like,
wow.
And I'm not, it's like, and it's, I should say these sites are like targeting like normal gay guys too. Like, this is not about me being like, I'm so famous, it's hard to have sex. That's not it at all. It is just like, but like, I don't like the fact that like, I am someone's story. Like, I don't want them to go, I don't want them to be watching Loot with their friends and like point at the screen and be like, that guy said this weird thing to me while we were having sex.
And then piss on my face.
Yeah, exactly.
I've pissed on some faces out there.
Anonymity is like a huge part of sex party
enjoying
culture.
Sex.
Yeah. I think he needs to add, he really needs to question what he wants to get out of the sex party.
Right. Sexual pleasure. Or is it like, if you go for a shock factor, like at least fake your responses, like reactions, you know?
Keep it behind the curtain.
We don't like to feel like we're zoo animals. We as in people who regularly go. And I think the response is also like the don't yuck my yum is a huge thing, because I went to a BDSM party and I don't like personally practice a lot of BDSM or intense BDSM, but I've seen some like newbies at that party that was like, ew. I'm like, why are you here?
Yeah.
Why are you here if you know you're going to explore a BDSM party? Mm-hmm. Let the people be and like don't have that kind of response.
Yeah.
I really do think that that's important, because once you go like, ew, or like, oh, I can't believe they did that. Like,
right. You want to feel safe in that space. You want to feel safe to be the biggest freak that you want to be. And like, if you know there are people sort of gawking at you and thinking it's like, the minute you sense the energy, the vibe that someone thinks this is weird, what's going on here is weird. It is such a mood killer.
Huge mood killer. So definitely fake your response, poker face, or clap. Last time I went to a sex party, when I came, there was this lady that clapped for me and I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was fun. Another thing also for sex parties, just so you know, like there are many different types of parties. There are parties that are like thousands of dollars to attend. There are parties that are like, oh, friends of friends. And it's like 20 people, 30 people. There's parties that are more like an event where there's like 200-300 people. And there's like sex shows and BDSM and stuff like that. So it just depends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really depends.
The second question is from Keeney. And she asks, I've been in a relationship with my boyfriend for 10 years. Our time in the bedroom was always very hot and passionate. But 2 years ago, I had our daughter. And since then, we hardly had sex. And when we do, it's very, quote unquote, ordinary. I don't know if it's his age. He's 53. But he never finishes. And I have to finish on my own. I have heard of something called the Madonna Horror Syndrome, where a man treats his wife one way in the bedroom and treats his mistress in a different way. I think since I've had our daughter, he sees me differently. My question is, what advice do you have that can help me get out of this situation and get my sex life back?
This is really tough. This is, I think, a very common issue of relationships of that length who don't have kids.
Right.
You know?
And throw in the kid factor.
No, because I totally get this. Like, I think a big part of the reason why my partner and I are open is that the sex that I have with him is very different from the sex that I have with a stranger, as I was saying before. Like, the sex I have with my partner is so passionate and loving, and it's, like, romantic because we're very deeply in love. But sometimes I just want to be a fucking whore.
Yeah.
You know? And it's, like, and it's hard to flip that switch with him because I know he knows who I really am so well, and he and I know him so well. That it like it's almost embarrassing.
Yeah,
it's
like you're loving, caring, and tender, yeah, but then you want to like turn around, like fuck my ass, you bitch.
Exactly, and it like it can be difficult to be in that headspace with your partner if that is not maybe sort of what the baseline that you set was. You know,
a lot of people do role play.
Yeah,
do you feel like that's easy or hard for someone like you who's also like acting for a living?
It depends on the context. Again, it's easier when I know the person doesn't know or follow me or anything like that. And like I realize like this sounds ridiculous to be saying because I'm sure of your 2 million subscribers, maybe 5 people know who I am. But in the gay community, it is much smaller, and it's a weirder. It's a weirder thing. I will say one thing that my partner told me, and the thing about our relationship is that we're really good at taking notes for each other, is he was like, we're constantly cuddling, we're constantly kissing, we're constantly being affectionate physically towards each other when we're alone at home. But he was like, I need to feel from you that you want me.
Yeah.
Like, grab my ass sometimes. Like, you know, really, like, I need you to take us back to that early stages when we couldn't, you know, stop fucking every time we saw each other.
Kiss me unexpectedly. Or
there's a difference. There's a difference between, like, loving physical affection and, like, I'm horny for you. And his ask was like, I know you're horny for me. I need you to like really demonstrate that though before, because like, you know, sex can become a little bit planned.
Yeah.
You know,
I think this is a really good answer for Keeney actually, because like if their relationship is dull, like their sex life is dull, like having this conversation where like, hey, babe, I need this from you. Like, I need you to be able to show me that you like want me and not just like giving me like loving kisses, but like show that you want to fuck me.
Yeah. Grab my ass in the kitchen while I'm doing dishes, you know, like.
So did you have this conversation?
Yeah, we did. And I did.
How did you respond?
Thank you
for the notes. I will implement this.
We're both really great at taking notes from each other, and we're both really great about communicating. I mean, I think that is the bedrock of any relationship, especially in a non-monogamous relationship, is I think we probably talk even more about this kind of stuff than monogamous couples
do. Oh, 100%.
Because we are constantly having to come back to the table to reset boundaries and check in with each other and stuff like that. And like that is why it is to this point been very successful. With her, first of all, I wouldn't like worry too much about the not finishing part on his part. He should still be trying to get her off. Men, as they get older, I do think it is more difficult.
To come,
especially as we were just talking with this slave. Like, I'm sure.
Imagine 50 years of jerking
exactly.
off.
I'm sure he's jerking off to this day, and I'm sure that he's been doing it for years, and I'm sure it's just difficult at this point. Right. And, you know, she just, I actually don't want to speak on vaginas because I don't know enough about them.
I imagine. Oral sex is good.
Yeah, like, oral sex is good. I think, like, I think so often with sex, especially in relationships, we want it to just feel spontaneous and natural and all of these things. But the fact of the matter is once you're in deep with someone in a long-term relationship, you do have to start communicating those needs. Mm-hmm. It's not always going to be for every couple,
100%.
Like 100p, spontaneous, mm-hmm. let me rip your clothes off. Like, you do have to communicate those needs sometimes.
Exactly. And you have to come up with solutions together and actually follow through.
Right.
Like, implement them. The lack of follow through is where you lose trust.
Yeah.
And that's where you lose the motivation to even initiate.
Yeah.
I know a lot of long-term couples that are like, I quit initiating sex. Because, like, every time I initiate, I get a rejection,
mm-hmm.
right? They're like, oh, I'm busy. Oh, I'm tired. I'm too full. I'm on my period. Whatever it is the rejection is going to, like, eat away your confidence and your self-esteem, where, like, maybe you've been dating for 20 years or been together for 20 years. Like, if you continuously get rejections, like, you will eventually just stop.
And I think, too, part of it is, like, it will be different.
Right.
Holding on to the early stages of their relationship mm-hmm. when it was hot and heavy. And that is like, and listen, we can't all be Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos who are apparently still fucking like rabbits.
What is their thing?
Like, their big thing is that they still like fucking are into each other and want to fuck. And I know there are couples like this who have been together 20 years and they're still like so sexually into each other. But like, it does shift for a lot of couples. Mm-hmm. And I do think that like so much of it becomes about love and maybe not lust. Mm-hmm. And she's, I think, looking for the lust. And again, it goes back to that thing of like, I need you to like, at least for the very least, perform lust for me. Another thing that might help them is like, this was a piece of advice that we got was like, pick a day mm-hmm. and have sex on that day, no matter what. Even if you don't feel like it necessarily, even if you're not feeling super horny, make it a part of your routine. And then it'll start of, and what happened for us is it just sort of naturally then became like this thing where we don't schedule it anymore. Mm-hmm. And it's not, there's not like one specific day, but we got so sort of in the groove of like, fucking each other once a week.
That make it like a part of what you do.
And again, that doesn't sound super sexy. It doesn't sound super romantic, but it is. Sex is maintenance sometimes.
Yeah, it's relational
especially
maintenance.
In a long-term relationship.
If you want to feel the sexual connection, gotta do it.
Yeah. And that, like doing that for a while really did reignite a lot of the like early passion stuff, because you forget, like, if you haven't had sex with someone,
so important.
Those would be my advice.
A lot of us have sexual desire that is called responsive desire, meaning we don't just like wake up and be like, oh, I want to hop on someone and fuck. But like, if we start kind of falling around, getting like grabbed and caressed, then we can kind of get horny feelings, right? We're responding to those touches and other stimuli. So like, if you have responsive sexual desire, maybe start by fooling around and see where it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Because for a lot of times, it will end up in having good sex. Yeah. And I think lastly, it's very important for long-term couples to continuously redefine sexual satisfaction.
Yeah.
What does it mean for you now that it's been 5 years? What does it mean for you now that it's been 10 years? What does it mean for us now that it's, but we have 4 kids?
Yeah.
Right? Awesome. Last question is from Billy. And you wrote for Billy on the street, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's so cool. Ah, he's so funny.
Yeah, he's great. He's great.
Billy asks, should I let my partner know I've been using ED medication? I haven't been telling them and I'm worried they'll judge me.
No, especially as someone who like, has a Cialis prescription mostly so that my dick can get hard when I'm doing drugs.
Oh my God.
And it is like so prevalent. Like,
what do you use? Like Blue Chew?
Cialis.
It's just, a
like an actual Cialis. Yeah. Or Trimix. Do you know what Trimix is?
I prefer Trimix. Upfront about that too. I know that a lot of people try to like hide it and make it such a taboo thing when it's just another tool. It's like that masturbation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'm sympathetic to his worry, but I don't understand it. It is like one of those things where it's like, as long as it's hard, it's hard. I don't care how it got there. You know, like it's new. I think that there is like this weird inherent like judgment about like, oh, I can't get hard. Is my partner going to think that they're not hot enough? They're not turning me on enough, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like, there are so many factors that go into making this thing work,
so many.
Especially the older we get, like it's about like mental stimulation. Like literally sometimes if I try and have sex too close after doing, after going to the gym, it's just not going to happen.
Right.
My blood is elsewhere, you know? And like, so much of it is mental that you can get caught in a mental trap of it. Like, cause when a guy comes over and he can't get hard because he's nervous about this, that, or the other thing, I'm like, I always am like, I never call it out. I'm always like waiting and we like fool around, do other things. He sucks me off, whatever. Because I know that like the minute we address it, it's game over, you know? And sometimes I'll give them a Cialis just as like psychosomatic because...
You're like, you want one?
Because, no, because when I know that it's not physical, when I know that the reason they're not getting hard is not physical...
Like,
it's
obviously they came over because they want to
It's nerves or something like that. yeah. Like, the Cialis won't necessarily work despite that, but it is like a mental game. Like if I can give them that and then mentally they're like, oh, my dick should start getting hard soon, then it sort of gets them out of the cycle of anxiety about
Do you actually give the real thing or do you give them like a sugar cube?
Oh, you know what? I should stop wasting real Cialis on these people and just give them a sugar cube.
Yes. They're like, it looks
no,
like
you're
sugar
absolutely
cube.
Right.
Like, no,
like that is totally, it's this, it would have the same
Can
effect.
Can you please tell me if it works?
I will follow
like
up.
That's like an experiment.
But no, I don't think, I don't know if this person is straight or gay. Does it say?
Straight.
Yeah,
okay, I think the worries are the same though. One, worried that the partner will not perceive him as masculine because there's so much masculinity attached to your dick. Like, being able to get hard, being able to come, like
virility,
all the things, the size, all the things. So masculinity is probably one of the worries. And then the other worry is she might feel like I'm not into her.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately, this is another thing. I don't think you have to tell her.
You don't.
I really don't think she.
Ooh, that's where we disagree.
Why? Why do you have to disclose that? Like,
do you disclose?
Not always. No.
But do you disclose if it's your long-term partner?
I've never really had to because like we both do it.
Okay.
Mostly so that like
I think I'm coming
Molly
from the receiver
like
perspective. Mm-hmm. Like if it was, let's say, my husband, like I'd like to know so that I know like we can kind of work on different solutions without using pharmaceuticals.
Okay.
Yeah. Like that's for me because we are in a long-term relationship. I honestly don't give a shit if we're hooking up and you're on Viagra. Like
great.
Feel free to be on Cialis or whatever, like because we're hooking up and I want to have fun with you and I want to come. Like that's my purpose. That's the purpose of this sex. But if it's my long-term relationship, which it sounds like she says my partner or he says my partner, so I assume it's like a kind of long-term relationship, then I would like to know so that we can find holistic solutions together.
Sure.
But that's from the receiver perspective. But I can totally see where people are like, well, I don't really owe anyone an explanation.
Yeah, I mean, my thing
is
that
genitals.
Like we're reaching the same destination.
Yeah.
No matter what. As long as we get there and it's hard. Like I don't necessarily, it's not like an illicit drug.
Yeah, you know.
Like it's not like you're putting yourself in a different state of mind. It's not affecting your brain. It's not affecting your personality. It's like a supplement, I guess, to me. So
I do like that there's two perspectives.
Yeah,
though.
No. My favorite is not even, I prefer Trimix.
I don't know what that is.
Trimix predates Viagra, and it's like having a real resurgence in the gay community. It's a shot you put in the base of the side of your dick, and it's localized Viagra, basically.
What?
So it works immediately. It works without fail, no matter what's going on in your brain, you will have a boner.
And it's a shot?
Mm-hmm. It's like a little diabetic
like a tiny
needle. Yeah. It's like a pinch. It doesn't,
wow,
I've never
but
never
it's
had
prescription.
Yeah, you're supposed to.
We can talk about that
later. You're supposed to have a prescription for okay. sure. Yeah.
Wow. I'm surprised. I've never heard of that before.
Right. Well, because it like once we had pill form, I think guys right. were like, oh, I don't have to put a needle in my penis.
Right. And I wonder if those companies also kind of, you know, are much yeah. more promoted. So
I will say a lot of porn stars, a lot of OnlyFans guys I know are use rely heavily on Trimex. Yeah.
Wow.
Because it just works faster. It works longer.
And localized just for the dick.
Yeah. And I mean, it's dangerous too. I mean, I know people who have really massively fucked up their dicks for doing too much.
No.
But a dab will do you. I've never done more than a couple.
Too much species. As in like they want it to be even harder or they want it to last longer.
I'm not sure exactly what the end game is. Wow. I think it's like it's counterintuitive because you really have to trust the process with Trimex. Like you right. do your dose. You're trying and like you wait. And then I think a lot of people are like, it's not working or it's not working fast enough. Let me do more. Mm. But it is one of those things where it's like, trust the process. Do not. It's not like fucking like a drinking an alcoholic drink where you're right. like, I don't feel drunk yet. I should do more.
Right.
It's like, no, you did your dose. It should. It chill will work. Wait. Chill and wait.
So
and if it doesn't work, then
personally,
like,
how long does it usually take?
Not long at all.
Like 5 minutes.
Almost like yeah, almost instantaneously. Honestly.
Wow.
I mean, part of it is like having like some guy like hold my dick and then put a needle in it is like already stimulating me enough.
Ooh, is it?
Or I'm already in an environment like I usually only do it at sex parties where there's like a station with a yeah. nurse who's. Applying it
mm-hmm.
and, but so I'm like in a very sexy situation and so
hot.
I'm like primed already to want to be hard.
That's hot. I'm imagining like the nurse is just like yeah. like I'm ready. Give me your dick. Okay, the last segment of my show is called Five Quickies with Dr. Tara.
Okay,
this is where we do rapid rounds. Number one, who is your celebrity crush
right now? It's Coleman Domingo. In part obviously he's very hot, but also the fashion, the like, yeah. I really respect what he has done on the red carpet this year.
Mm-hmm.
He's like stunting on everybody every single time. And I love that. And he's sexy as hell.
Yeah, he is sexy.
And talented. And very, very talented.
Right. That feeds into
if you
into
haven't
the sexy
seen Rustin, run, don't walk. Yeah.
All right. Number two, do you still use Grindr?
Yeah.
What is your opening line?
Usually like, hey, man. I don't know. Like that's
like you
this
up.
This is another thing. Like people are like, don't just say hey, or don't just like be more original
are you
than
a
that.
Hey man?
And I'm like, why though? Like I don't like it's a very pretty standard greeting. I don't like. I actually really get like sort of weird. I get the ick when guys are like, hey, my name's John. What's your favorite book? And I'm like. Bitch, this is not why we're here, okay? I know you're trying to
this
avoid...
This is not eHarmony.
I know you're trying to avoid Hey Dude or Hey Man or whatever version of that is, but like that is an appropriate way to start a conversation with a stranger that you want
right.
to have sex with
right.
is, hey man, I'm in a relationship.
Yeah.
I'm just there for sex and I'm there for it when I'm on the app. I'm not like I'm not fishing.
Weekend.
Yeah, not this weekend, like in an hour. Like I have a window and that's why I'm on the app. I don't often get on Grindr when I'm not actively looking for sex.
I see. And by active is like same day.
Yeah.
A same day delivery.
Looking for now.
Like
yeah.
Amazon, same day delivery. Mm-hmm. You're not about like to be
yeah.
on Etsy and be like, oh, it's 2 weeks later.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, what taboo kink do you think should be more socially acceptable?
I guess piss.
I was literally going to say the same.
Yeah, because like I'm personally not, you know, it's not something that interests me either as a receiver or a giver. I've peed on men who've asked for it. I've been peed on. And it's like, depending on, usually the guys, and actually I don't know enough about that community to make this judgment, but like it's... They're like well hydrated.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like
it's clean pee.
Yeah, it's not like yellow. I mean, maybe some guys really do like that smell and that thing. I'm sure that's a huge part of it for some people. But in my experience, it was like not unpleasant. It was like warm and we were in the shower already.
Yeah.
And like, sure, could take it or leave it. I will say like, especially like when a guy asks me to pee on them, I'm mm-hmm. like, well, it means nothing to me. You know,
it doesn't
like
make me
I'm doing like
horny
my friend was at Burgine in Berlin, and he was like, I accidentally went on piss night, and I went to go use the bathroom, and there was just a guy standing by the urinal with his mouth open, like, wanting me to pee in his mouth.
Wow.
And I was, like, so weirded out. I just used the urinal, and I was like, why in the world would you not just pee on that man?
Exactly. Exactly.
It means nothing to you.
Exactly.
What is the difference between a urinal and a guy?
And you're giving him pleasure.
Yeah, it's like, it means
great.
Nothing to you. It means everything to him.
Everything makes his night. Like, you can make it his night.
Just pee on him. Like, you know, so yeah, pee.
If I was there, I would totally pee in his mouth.
Pee is that, yeah, for me.
Yeah.
I do think, and I this is kink shamey adjacent, but but scat, that can stay in the shadows for me.
I know. I'm a little bit scared of that because you like legit, like you can get super sick.
Yeah, there's like health stuff. But I mean,
yeah. But I don't know enough to talk about.
I don't either.
Because I'm sure in the community there might be a way where they like are safely practicing.
Yes, I don't know enough about it to make that kind of judgment about it. I'm just saying it personally, like it's not something that I want
not
to.
A turn on.
I don't want to come into, like, I don't want it to like, I don't know. Like, I recently, like, tried to hook up with this guy and I told him, I was like, I'm not bottoming tonight. And he was like, well, I'm a top. And I was like, well, we can, it's 5:30 in the morning. We don't have a lot of options. Do you want me to come over or not? We can do a lot of other stuff. And he was like, fine. And then, of course, inevitably, he tried to stick it in like 3 times. And I was like, I'm not ready.
Uh-huh.
Like, this is, it's not just that I don't feel like bottoming mm-hmm. right now. I am not prepared to bottom right now. And he was like, no, I like that. And I was like,
no.
Well, see, that's the thing. I'm involved in this too, and I don't.
Right.
Like, half the reason
like,
I douche before sex.
At 2 a.m.
half the reason I douche is not just for the top.
Right.
It's also for my comfort,
mm-hmm.
you know, like,
yeah.
I want to be, you know, completely ready down there. So yeah, scat
so
is,
happened?
Well, afterwards, after the sex, I was like waiting for my Uber and I'm an investigative journalist. I was like, so how long have you been into scat? Like, when did you first know that? When did you know? Like, when did you know that that was a turn on for you? Like, and how do you normally like? And he was like, oh, I'm not into scat. I'm not into scat. And I was like, okay. He was like, I just like the taste and the smell sometimes on my finger. And I'm
you
like,
you are into scat.
And I was like, baby boy, that is you. That's scat. That's scat. I'm sorry.
I will remember that story forever. I just like the taste and the smell.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm not into scat.
No.
Number 4. When your nudes leaked online, who was the first person you wanted to see them?
Maybe. Yeah, there's not like a specific person, but there's a kind of person. I guess like the person who had no idea what was going on underneath all this.
Oh.
Who had like not seen the many pictures on my Instagram of me shirtless. But like, I hope that someone out there who had only ever seen me clothed on television or something like that saw the nudes and was like, oh, I had no idea.
Oh, like you know? Positive surprise.
Yeah, yeah,
pleasant
yeah.
surprise. Mm-hmm. Okay, the last one is, would you give me head to prove that you can make a woman come?
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate
so.
That you thought about it.
Yeah, yeah, no. I it would take me some time, but I think I could figure it out.
Nice. I appreciate that. Thank you. Well, before we leave, ask me one question.
Okay. This is a question that I've actually had for a long time, and I've never been in a context where it felt appropriate to ask, but like, what do women get out of anal sex? Like physically, like we know that the prostate exists and that's why it's enjoyable for us. I have never understood why a woman would do that to like, are there like receptors in there? Does like, I just like without my prostate, I would not want to be bottoming. Like without that particular stimulation, it does
right.
not do anything for me. So I guess my question is like, is there a biological like reason for women wanting anal sex, or is it just primarily for the male partner because it's tighter or whatnot?
There is.
Okay.
The clitoral network is huge.
I
and
love
like
the clitoral over- network. I love the clitoral
there's
network.
There's over 10,000 nerve endings and it's like kind of everywhere in there. So,
wow.
Yes, there is pleasure to be had.
Wait, so there is the clitoral network extends
like
the to the anus.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The legs, it's within it and it's everywhere. It's like the clit is huge, not just the top. It's like huge within the body.
Oh my God,
yeah,
it's like an iceberg.
The legs go everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like the iceberg, but also like aliens with like lots of legs, kind of
oh,
like spiders.
Wow. You know, just when I thought I understood the clit, I hear about
the clitoral
the legs
network
and the clitoral network.
Yeah,
and
lots of legs.
That's crazy. Is this true of every woman though?
Yeah.
No. But I mean like, is the clitoral network the same for every woman? Because I have had women be like, it feels really good for me. And then I have women who are like, it feels awful. I get nothing out of it. Mm-hmm. And could that be a case where the clitoral network for some women just isn't extending there. Like it's extending in other places.
You know, there's always like some kind of statistical significance. Like there could be, you know, 5% of women who don't have that kind of like long clitoral lakes.
Right.
You know, however, I think the majority of the women like have similar reproductive system and we are able to experience pleasure. But now I'm someone that's like, it's really hard to come anally. However, if I'm using a vibrator on my clitoris in front as well, then I derive pleasure from
cheating,
both places.
But okay.
So never cheating to use tools. So yeah, I can have combo orgasms from anal if I'm using a vibrator as well. But it's also like novelty and excitement that a lot of people in long-term relationships crave.
Yeah, it's also a little taboo for you guys.
Yeah, it's taboo. So it's fun. It's naughty. It's also like, build like bonds and connection because it's something like taboo and it's hard to do. Mm-hmm. So it's bonding for you and your partner.
Yeah.
So there's like multiple reasons why we do it. But yeah, I think that every woman is able
to experience pleasure. A biological response.
Yes.
Like pleasure response that happens from it.
But it doesn't mean
not,
you have to do it because it is hard. Like you have to really focus and you really have to stretch and prep.
Girl,
like,
listen.
Like I know
when I was in my 20s, I could have receptive anal sex at the drop of a hat. I knew my body.
Wow.
It was like whatever. At this point in my life, I need 3 days notice. Like if you want me to bottom, I need 3 days lead up so that I can start doing all the things. Yeah, I mean I douche.
Like stretch. Do you stretch?
Oh no, that's
okay.
That seems counterintuitive.
Okay, one of my team members is like a very horny 20-something-year-old gay guy who like stretches his butthole regularly. So
I mean,
that
I know guys like that. I'm also sort of like. I'm not a size queen. Like
this is also good for all men that likes pegging.
I'm not like really interested in like if it like I don't need it.
Day.
I don't need it to hit the second hole. You know, I really don't. Like that is not like it's more sort of like an interesting like sort of like wow, I really did that, but it doesn't necessarily bring me immense pleasure. It makes me a little uncomfortable, in fact, sometimes, which is why I don't. I'm not always in the mood to bottom. But yeah, I know guys who stretch, but like, I like to, like, I actually now bottom so sort of like much more infrequently than I used to because my partner is a bottom. And let's just say it remains pretty tight at 36 years old because it'll like, I just don't use it as much.
A tight bussy.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I am sorry to be a stereotype. An Asian guy with a tight hole. Wow.
Wow.
But,
that's a great place to end. Where can everyone find you?
You can find me at I Hate Joel Kim on both Twitter and Instagram. Twitter, there's a countdown for how much longer I'm going to be there. But on Instagram, I'll probably be there for a while.
And new season of your show coming up.
New season of Loot coming out April 3rd. On March 22nd, you live in LA. I am throwing a warehouse party downtown, which is something that I do occasionally. And it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of amazing DJs, really cool space, stick and poke tattoos, tarot. A dark room if you want to have public sex.
So fun.
Lots going on. You can find tickets to that on my Instagram bio if you're in LA. It is a mixed party.
I'm going to be there.
Yeah, no, please come.
Yes.
It is not, it is like, it will be queer leaning, but it's sort of, so you have to be okay with that. But like, there will be plenty of straight people there as well.
I love it. Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having
me. And hanging out with us and tell us all about sex and buttholes and tight buzzies. We love it. My Love Bites fam, thank you so much for watching and listening to this episode till the end of the episode. Don't forget to like, subscribe, comment, share, and all the things. And if you're listening, please leave us a review. We love a good review. If you love this episode and the other episodes, please leave a 5-star and a little comment. We love to see them. We work really hard on these episodes. And this is the last episode of this season. So we will be back in a month. Definitely, if this is your first episode entering like the Love Bites by Dr. Tara world, definitely listen to other episodes prior to this. It's always so much fun and educational. And as always, have an orgasmic day. Bye.
Thanks for listening. This was Love Bites. By Dr. Tara. Follow Dr. Tara on social media at lovebites.co. Have an orgasmic day.
Did you know
There's an app that celebrates candid conversations about sex with no censorship. The Moan app is a sexual wellness community app where you can join audio chat rooms, listen to real people talk about their real life sexual experiences. It's free, anonymous, inclusive, and fun. Check out the Moan app today. That's M-O-N app.